Good to see everybody today. If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, we're going to continue talking about the men God calls and their character. And we were looking at Noah, and we're going to finish up with Noah this morning. I remember a number of years ago, a man that began to come to our church, and he had been a Presbyterian. And he talked about, as we talked to him about his salvation, and he had followed the Lord, he'd been baptized. And he said, I've been baptized twice. I said, really, why twice? He said, well, I was baptized the first time to please the Lord in obedience. And he said, then I joined a Baptist church, and I had to be baptized to please the Baptist. So we know true, when you're born again and you're baptized, we know when we're saved, we're baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. But that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this same man told me, he said, and he was an older gentleman at the time, probably what my age is now, and he said, I've heard a lot of preachers. And he says, I'm of the opinion that some preachers God has called and sent. And he says, and I'm of the opinion that some just went. They went, but it wasn't the calling of God. God does the calling, amen? God does the calling. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege again. What a wonderful privilege to stand before your people and to be able to share the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and to share the word of God and to talk about this wonderful man, Noah, that you chose. You called him and you sent him. And I pray, Father, you would use me today to say some things that will be encouraging, that will bring praise to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We began last week as we talked about Noah and we talked about the circumstances of the time in which we lived. He lived. Violence had filled the earth. Men were corrupted. It said all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. God numbered their days, 120 years. He said, I'll not always strive with men. And so he called Noah to build the ark. And what an amazing story that is. I brought out that out of all the people on the earth, God could only find one man. Can you imagine that? One man out of all those people. And this was a man that found grace. And we talked about grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he described his character. And it tells us that in verse 9 of chapter 6, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And we talked about him being just and about being justified, and we're justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And you know, it's been said, excuse me, in the Old Testament, of course, Noah didn't have the Word of God like you and I have. We have the complete revelation of God. We have the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to. And you know, there was a promise made in the book of Genesis that there was going to come the seed of the woman that was going to crush the head of the serpent. And that was the beginning of the picture of the one that was going to come and to bring redemption. You know, the whole Bible, after you get past that, it's a story of redemption and how God unfolded it. And all through the Old Testament, you only get glimpses and pictures. So Noah only had a glimpse and a picture of that was the one that was to come. And you know, Job, some believe Job may be the oldest book of the Bible, certainly the time in which it represents. But you know, even Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days he was going to stand upon the earth. And so God was revealing things, and I brought out from the book of Corinthians that even those that didn't have the law had the law of God written in their heart. They already knew what was right and what was wrong. And all of the world had went against God. And whatever Adam may have shared, whatever God had spoken to their hearts, and they were sinning against God. And it's no different today. People know what is right and wrong, and yet they choose to do wrong. They choose to go against the word of God. And we have that choice. And when God called us, you know, God calls men, certainly, for ministry and for his purposes. But it is God that does the calling. Ekklesia, the word for church. Ek means out of, and klesia, to call. God called us out of this world to follow him, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we can't get saved unless God is drawing. You don't get up one day and say, well, you know what, today I think I'm going to get right with God. Doesn't work that way. God is already working, using circumstances, speaking to our heart, and we realize that our lives, something's wrong, there's something missing. So God calls, the Spirit of God convicts and shows us the way of righteousness, the way to heaven and to salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God does that calling. So I just want to emphasize, you and I are called of God to serve the Lord. Pastor just preached on that, about the calling of God in our lives and the various aspects of that calling. And it tells us in Ephesians 4 to walk worthy of the vocation. That word is actually calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherein you've been called. And that's what Noah did. He walked worthy of the calling wherein that God had called him. So what we're going to talk about today is that he walked with God. We already talked about him being just and being justified. But it says he walked with God. And I want us to think about that this morning, about this walk with God and what it might entail. So here Noah was, a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Only one other man that I know of that it says it like that was Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And it tells us that in the book of Genesis and also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter. Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony. He had a testimony that he pleased God, and God took him, and he was not. And God took him home to heaven. And the only other one taken like that, I guess, was Elijah, caught up, you remember, in the whirlwind in the chariot. But God looked, and Enoch walked with him. And I know you and I, when we hear things like that, I know I get convicted when you think he had a testimony that in that day he pleased God. He knew what God wanted, what God expected, and he walked with God. And what about us? What about our walk with God? We hear sermons and we get convicted because we realize we're not walking up to that calling that God has called us. You know, Brother Sommerdorf just preached about being godly and being holy. And you look at your life and, you know, our righteousness, our holiness is because Christ is in us. This old flesh, there's nothing good about this flesh, but it's because Christ is in us. And when God looks at us, he sees Christ. And you remember what he said about Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So Enoch pleased God, and we please God because we're in Christ. But that's our salvation. You know, there's that positional salvation. We're in Christ. But then there's that practical salvation that we have to work out day by day. And it's kind of like, you know, it says in the Psalm, I think it's our Proverbs, maybe 22. It talks about a man that has a good name. And we want to have a good name, a good testimony. We want to represent Christ in a positive way that people would see Christ in us. And we all fail every day. But aren't you glad that every day you could come before God and get a fresh start? You could say, Lord, I messed up, I blew it, and confess. Doesn't mean we want to keep doing it, but when we sin, we have an advocate in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus. His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. So here Noah walked with God. Now, one of the things it doesn't say in the text, but we know that it's true, Noah was a man of faith. Noah was a man of faith. He believed God. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Let me just think about that for just a moment. Not seen as yet. You know, John talked about in 1 John. I'm sorry, it's Peter, actually, that said it in 1 Peter chapter 1. And he talked about how we believe, yet having not seen. We haven't seen Christ physically. One day we will. And John tells us about that in 1 John 3, 2. We don't know what we'll be like, but when he appears, we'll be like him. And so we haven't seen him, but we believe. The flood hadn't come. God hadn't judged as yet, it says. But yet Noah knew by faith it was coming. If God said it, it's going to happen. You and I believe in the rapture of the church. We believe in a kingdom of Christ that is coming. We haven't seen it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those that love him. But we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. I remember my wife used to say, when logic comes in, faith goes out. Because a lot of things aren't logical. Who would build a boat in the middle of the desert when it had never rained? Who would do that? But we do things based on faith. We walk by faith. We're to be ready to always to give an answer to every man who asks a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Well, God has spoken to our heart. We believe the word of God. We don't understand it all. I don't. But I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. I believe the word of God is true. I believe Christ is coming. He promised he's coming. And, you know, Job said he's coming. There's going to be a resurrection. Peter said he's coming. Paul said he's coming. John said, everybody. Jesus said he's coming. I believe that. I don't know when. We don't know when. But isn't that a great hope? In Titus 2, it says, we're looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that. Why? Because God said, so we haven't seen him as yet. But what did he do? Being warned of God in a dream, he said he was moved with fear. He was moved with fear. I'll tell you what. If God said, hey, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood and I want you to build a boat, you better do it. Peter said, you know, God said, I'm not going to destroy the world that way again. But Peter said that the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. God is going to destroy this world by fire. The wrath of God, as it's pointed out in the book of Revelation, is going to fall upon this world, and God is going to judge this world. And he says, Peter said, if we have that hope, if we believe that, if we have that fear, a righteous, holy fear of a holy God, what should you do? And he tells us what we ought to go ahead and do. We're to prepare to be ready for the coming of the Lord. How do you get ready? Well, you get ready by getting saved. Because if you're not saved, you're going to hell. There's only two options. Amen? Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're not going to purgatory, as some would say, in a proving ground or something and try to get it right. No, that's not going to happen. Either you're saved when you leave this world or you're not. Right. He said in Titus how God sent a strong delusion to those that reject Christ. And in the tribulation, there's going to be a strong delusion. Those that have heard the gospel, in my opinion, in this lifetime and reject Christ and they go into the tribulation, they'll never be saved. Because God says, I'm going to send them a strong delusion to believe a lie that they might all be damned. So this is the day of salvation. This is the time to be saved in this grace in which we live. And there are those that say, well, you know, when I see this or I'll see that, too late. When Noah went into the ark and God shut the door, when God shuts the door, it's too late. Yeah. And I'll tell you, when the rapture comes, those that are left, those that have never heard the gospel, and there are many that have never heard the gospel. Now, this may come as a shock to you. There are many people in our world that are very religious, even that call themselves Christians. There are many Catholics that have never heard the gospel. If they go to their church, they never hear the gospel. They never hear about being born again. You could talk to Catholic people about that. When's the last time your priest talked about being born again? Well, I never heard him say that. I've had many Catholics tell me that. So there's going to be many that are going to be saved. Thank God that the grace of God is going to enter in and a multitude are going to come out of that period of time. But we being moved with fear, what did he do? It says he prepared an ark. An ark is a picture or a type of Christ. Because you remember I mentioned quickly that ark is so unique, made out of gopher wood, the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. And there was only one ark, only one way to get through the flood, and that was to be in the ark. Christ is our ark. And there's only one way to make it through this life and to get to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a picture. He prepared. We need to prepare ourselves. Make sure we're saved. Now, God saves us. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We can't keep ourselves saved. We can't get ourselves saved, and we can't keep ourselves saved. God does that. But yet in this practical salvation, we're to begin to, he says, work it out with trembling and in fear. We're to begin to let the Spirit of God work in our lives so that the realities of the Scripture will become real in our life. Now, I'm not yet attained to holiness like I want to, or godliness, but that's our goal. So every day we ought to say, Lord, help me to be godly today. Help me to be holy today. Help me to be thankful today. Help me to be aware of souls that are lost today. Help me, Lord, to be looking at things the way you look at it. Jesus comes. He looks at the world, and he sees the world lost. He sees people as sheep gone astray, people that are on their way to hell. We need to begin to see the world and people the way that God sees them. And we begin that. That is part of what motivates us and encourages us, that we want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we're saved. Let's not be like Hezekiah at the end of his life, even though he had done a lot of good. But you remember at the end of his life when God told him, because of what he had done and showing everything to Babylon, and he said, that's good, as long as it doesn't happen in my time. Not worried about his kids and what they were going to go through. We can't say, well, I'm saved, que sera, sera, all is good. Well, what about others? What about those around us? The psalmist said, you know, I looked on my left hand, I looked on my right hand. There was no one to help. How many people in this world are looking for someone to help, someone to give them what they need? And what they need is Christ. They may need food. We think of those that are suffering in the southeastern part of our country. It's a great need there, and we ought to be concerned about that. But above all, they need Jesus Christ. They need the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for hospitals like St. Jude and the Shriners Hospital. I'm thankful for the technology and everything that they have, and that these kids are being healed. But they need to hear the Word of God. Because if you heal somebody and they just grow up to reject God and die, what good have you done them? It'd be better to die as a child and go to heaven than to grow up and to be lost and go to hell. So we need to pray that the gospel will go forth, and that these kids and these children would hear the word of God. So being moved by faith, it says, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And we talked about that righteousness, which is by faith. And you and I are called to walk by faith. It says he walked with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except be agreed? We can't walk with God unless we're in agreement with God according to his word. We've got to quit arguing with God. We could be honest and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand this, that verse, or that passage, but I believe it. And he agreed with God. God said the world is wicked, and he didn't argue with God. He didn't try to justify the wicked. He said, okay, God, if you say they're wicked, they're wicked. If you say the earth is full of violence, I look around, I see it. And if you say you're going to destroy this world, he could have argued with God and said, God, that doesn't sound logical. You know what people say today? Isn't he a God of love? Why would he have a hell? Because he's a holy God. And a holy God demands payment for sin. And he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I'm not going to come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned in John 3. What is the condemnation? Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because it reproves them of their evil deeds. So you and I, to the world, we reprove them. It says he became the heir of righteousness, and by what he did, he was condemning the world. So people look at us and they say, well, you know, you got bad news for us. Well, the bad news is that without Christ, they're going to go to hell. And so the world hates us. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the truth, and I think I brought it out, I can only imagine. Moms and dads, we need to be faithful before our children. I know we're not perfect. But I think if I would put myself in those circumstances, these boys were married. They were old enough, they had wives. You can imagine, what does the world say to them? What does the world say to our children today? Why, your dad, he's a nut. Your mom, they're crazy. They're religious fanatics. They talk about being born again, being saved, and living for God. And, you know, come on, let's go out here and let's have some fun. Let's go out and let's go to the clubs and let's drink and let's do this. And come on, your parents just don't want you to have any fun. And so our kids are attacked with that kind of stuff. Think about Noah's kids. These are grown men, grown women. Your dad's a nut. Build an ark? A flood? They didn't even know what rain was. But you know what? They knew their dad. They knew their dad. Or perhaps their mom were people of faith. You know, we often say, people will say, well, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It's settled whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
But isn't it good if your children would say to their peers and their friends, I believe my mom, I believe my dad. I could see them living for God. I believe what they have is real. God doesn't have grandchildren. If you're born in a garage, you don't grow up to be a car. If you're born in a Christian home, doesn't make you automatically a Christian. That's part of the covenant theology of the Reformed Church, which is wrong. They believe if you're under the covenant of the parents, you're saved. That's not true. Our children have to embrace our faith. It has to be real. I know we fail, but if they don't see a real faith in us, why should they embrace it? When they see us run at the signs of trouble, if they see us doubting no matter what the circumstances are, if they see a chink, if you will, or a crack in our armor that the devil wants to open up, we have to give them a faith that is real, that they can know that, yes, this is a man of God, this is a woman of God, I'm going to follow them. Your children may not even understand it at the time. I've had it said of my children, and you probably will too, as you get older and they get older. And I realized my oldest daughter once said, she said, you know what? She said, I've turned into mom. She said, I didn't buy into it when I was a teenager. But as time went along, the values that we have, they embrace. The belief that we have, they embrace. Why? Because they see that it's real. So we can't walk with God unless we're agreed with God. Micah 6:8. They were into idolatry in Israel. And I forget the exact phraseology, but he said, do you think you could have, you know, rivers of oil and sacrifices and even give your children as they were sacrificing their children to idols? Do you think these sacrifices, you remember God had told them in several places, even though God had ordained and told them what to sacrifice, he said, I hate your sacrifices. Why? Because he knew their hearts weren't in it. They were going through the motions. Because those sacrifices were to represent their genuine faith in the living God. And he says, you're out here sacrificing to other gods. You're saying, if we do all of this, and that's work salvation. If I do all of this, it'll... God said, that's not what I want. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He wants you to do justly. He wants you to do what is right in the eyes of God. Godly living. I want you to live according to the word of God. I want you to confess your failures, and I'll cleanse you, and I'll give you a fresh start every day. But I want you to do what is right. That's the root word of righteousness, is to do right. Do right in the sight of God. That's what God wants of you. And we have to confess to God, I can't do it. We can't. But with his help, didn't Christ say we could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us? Jesus said, without me, you could do nothing. If every day I confess that to God every day, Lord, I can't do it. But with your help, I can. I can't do it without you, Lord. I want to do right. I want to live right. I want to be right. I want to have a good testimony. I had to confess this morning. I don't guess it was yesterday, the day before I went to the Croc. I always have tracts, and I always try to witness. And I told God, I'm not witnessing today. I'm just not going to do it. And you know what? I didn't. Boy, God convicted me of that. You have this wonderful treasure, this wonderful truth, and you're walking by people that don't know Christ. Look what Christ did for you. So I said to the Lord, even just this morning, I'll never do that again. If I have opportunity, I'm going to share. I'm going to do what is right. There's going to be opposition, but I'm going to do what is right. It doesn't matter. They laughed at Jesus. They mocked Jesus. But yet for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. And he despised the shame and all the rest. He says, I want you to do justly. I want you to love mercy. I don't have time to go through what is mercy, but the scripture says the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. The mercy of God. Mercy is someone that has the ability to reach down into the circumstances of someone else's life and to bring a remedy, to bring a deliverance, a salvation. God was merciful to us. As the one man prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. Moses was called the most merciful of all men next to the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he show mercy? God said, Moses, stand aside. I'm going to destroy these people. And what did he do? He said, go, God. He used what authority or power he had with God for the benefit of others. Lord, blot my name. Blot my name out of thy book. But not these. Mercy is giving what you have to alleviate the suffering and the needs of others. Having a giving spirit, a kind spirit. We know that the kindness of God, the love of God, is better than life itself for us. So because God has been merciful to us, we're to show mercy to others. So walk, be just. Be merciful. Walk humbly. Walk humbly. Humbly is an act of submission. Saying to God, I agree with you. You're right. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to submit my life to you. I met some Jehovah's Witnesses a while ago down on the boardwalk by the lake. And they said, you say Jesus is the Son of God, that he's God in the flesh. I said, yes. They said, well, if Jesus is God, he said concerning that time of tribulation, he said, no man knows the day or the hour. He doesn't even know himself. So if Jesus is God, why doesn't he know? My answer to them was this. Jesus willingly subjected himself to the will of God. To know the exact time wasn't the important. The important thing was that he would go to the cross and die for sinners, and he agreed with God. We willingly submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The world says, you're foolish. Don't build an ark. Don't prepare. Don't get ready. He's not coming. Yes, he is. He's coming. Amen. He said he was, and I believe it with all of my heart. And that's why we're living the way we're living and doing what we're doing while we're in church this morning, because we believe it. So we're going to walk humbly with our God. We're going to submit to him. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You know, in this humility and submissiveness, in chapter 7 of Genesis in verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Submission brings obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, in John 14, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. If you love me, follow me. I'm not asking you to understand everything. I've got that all worked out. But what I'm asking you to do is to submit yourself unto me. And so if we're going to walk with God, there's got to be a willingness to submit. The psalmist said, my times are in your hands. Our times are in his hands. We can't predict every moment of the future, and we don't always know the perfect will of God in certain circumstances. Should I buy this house? Should I take that job? And we have to walk by faith and trust the Lord. But he did everything that the Lord commanded him. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the Lord, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble, the high and holy one. I dwell with those that are of a contrite spirit, those that are of a humble heart. If we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to agree with him. I'll be bringing a message on Abraham coming up, but Abraham said, I want you to get up out of this country in which you live. I'm going to go to a place. I'm going to show you. Well, God, where's it at? I'll let you know when it's time. He went out not knowing whether he was going. That's foolishness to the world, isn't it? That's not logical. I'm going to send you on a trip, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going when you get there. I'll tell you, we're on a journey. And we're going to get there one of these days. We may not know all the obstacles or the roads that God is going to lead us down. But one thing's for sure. God told him, I'm going to bring you into a land. And ultimately that land is going to flow with milk and honey. And when you need to know, my son used to tell me when I worked for him, I'd say, son, what about this? He said, you don't need to know. You're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. There's some things we don't need to know. We just need to obey and follow the Lord, the high and the holy one, the one that inhabits eternity. He says, I dwell in the hearts of those that walk humbly with me. So let's be like Noah. Let's be a man that was just. Let's be like a man that was a man of faith, a man that believed and obeyed, and a man that agreed with God, didn't argue with God, but he obeyed him. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for this man named Noah. So many wonderful examples of how he built the ark for the saving of his house, how we want our houses and our homes and our families to be saved. Lord, I pray that you would bless us today. Pastor will be preaching in a little bit. Young man I haven't heard, Diego, will be preaching tonight. And I just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on all these services. And may you get all the praise and glory, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.